This is the John Clayton Show
on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Get in on the conversation at 866-979-ESPN. Now here's your host,
the professor,
John Clayton.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Rich in from Monroe. Hey, Rich.
Hey, John. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Hey, I don't know about you, but I can't wait for the day we stop talking about COVID.
Yeah, I let's put it this way. I can't wait for the day that COVID goes away. I mean, you're right about that.
Yeah. Well, anyways, my question for you is the new acquisition of Jacob Eason.
Mm-hmm.
What is your thoughts on him far as how he – I don't know. I haven't followed him, what team he was with before he came to us. But did he get any playing time at all? How does he look? Is he going to be maybe a good backup for us in the future?
Could be. I mean, you know, he's under contract for a couple of years. He was a fourth-round pick of the Colts last year. But I know coming out of UW, he was just way too raw. And, you know, there was no way humanly possible they could put him on the field last year. Okay? So, you know, you knew it was going to be a redshirt year. And this year, you know, when Carson Wentz went down with his ankle injury and everything else, you know, they projected him to be the starter, but he didn't do a good enough job of being able to, you know, handle things. And, you know, they ended up going a different direction and eventually cutting him. Now, what they did is that, you know, they picked him up on waivers, which I thought was a good idea because, again, what do you have to lose? He's making the minimum salary. And, of course, you have two more years on the contract with him. But I thought that was smart. And then the other thing was that the idea is that you get a chance to they advanced him last week to be the backup quarterback because he was inactive the first week because he was still, you know, getting here, getting situated. And then last week he had him as a backup. So I think that, you know, he has a chance. I've liked him as a talent. I mean, you know, he was one of the better ones coming out of high school. He was talented at UW. So I think he does have a chance. It's just going to take a little bit of time.
Right. Did he not just fit in with the Colts' scheme of things, or is he just not prepared for the NFL level?
No, I think that he just it didn't seem to be able to pick things up or whatever it is.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Just, I really liked him at UW. I thought he was very talented. And I'd like to see him succeed. You know, God forbid Russell goes down again, which is very unlikely, but you know, he is getting an age here soon, next few years, so it could happen. And I know Geno's probably not going anywhere because he's got too much experience, but it would be nice to have somebody else we could rely on if needed.
Right. Yeah, and again, the great thing, he's young, and if he can pick things up and, you know, be a decent backup, that wouldn't be bad.
Right.
But okay, if necessary, like for example, if they needed a roster spot or something else, you know, they can cut him. And my guess would be, you know, he would be agreeable to come back to the practice squad. But as of right now, he's on the active roster. He is the backup, and we'll see where it goes.
Right. Has anybody seen? Has he done any practicing? And has anybody seen how he's looked? Or
we haven't because we're not allowed to watch practice. So it's like
oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
because
again, it's like at training camp, yes, but not during the season.
Not during the season. Oh,
no.
Okay.
Yeah, we're not able to watch any practice at all. So it's like none of us have seen anything, and you know, none of us obviously have seen anything on the field because he hasn't been on the field.
Right. 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 Okay.
Yeah, but no, I like him. I think that, you know, I liked him as a talent. And honestly, what I thought, and maybe he was hurt by this, is that I thought he went to the perfect team last year in Indianapolis because if you kind of watch his kind of fluky delivery, it kind of reminded me a little bit of the fluky delivery that Philip Rivers had because Philip has such a different delivery with the way he throws the football. And so I said, I think he can learn a lot through Philip. And he probably did, but then Philip retired this year to go into coaching, and so that took away him. And, you know, obviously he's not going to be the same as Carson Wentz. And then, of course, it's not like Carson Wentz was going to be able to teach him anything at training camp because, you know, he didn't practice with the ankle. You know, he had, like, one practice, and then that was early in training camp, and he didn't practice until the week of the Seahawks game.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right.
So
I mean, I think it was a good move myself.
I do too.
Yeah.
No, I think it was a real good move. Okay. Good. Hey, Rich, thank you for the phone call.
Yeah, thank you.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Mike in Puyallup. Hey, Mike.
Hello, Mr. Clayton.
How are you?
I'm good. I want to talk about the Beckham situation. I think I'd like to hear my question. How are we doing on third down?
Terrible.
And do you think that might help our third down? Either getting Lockett open, maybe our tight ends. Do you think Beckham would help that?
Talent wise, yeah. But again, is he going to be a problem if he only gets 4 or 5 targets a game?
Have you looked? He's been getting 2 in Cleveland. 2.
Yeah.
But frustrates him, he's wide open, and they miss him. Uh-huh. And that's what I. But the other thing is, that's, I don't think Russell Wilson's going to miss him on those deep balls that Baker can't get to him.
Right. I can see that. Yeah.
And then, and then, like I said, we're 3-5 right now, so. Mm-hmm. We kind of got to go 7-2, correct, to make the playoffs.
Honestly, you think about this and see if you agree. Is that there's only 6 teams with winning records in the NFC right now. 6, okay?
Uh-huh.
It's the same as last year. Because again, an 8-8 Chicago team was able to make it, and they weren't a playoff caliber team. I mean, they're just able to make it just because they had the 8-8 record. And you look at it right now, Seahawks are 1 game out. And again, as I mentioned earlier a couple times in the last hour and 2 hours, is that they have 4 winnable games, because they've got Houston, they've got Detroit, Chicago, and Washington. That gets them to 7. We'll see what they do against Green Bay, but if they can get a split in the 4 remaining division games, that's 9-8, and that gives them a chance, I think, to get in. Because again, I think a 9-win team is going to make it in the NFC.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think, but like prime example, the Rams.
Yeah.
What do the Rams do to us? They put Ramsey on DK.
They'll probably win.
Yeah, they put Ramsey on DK and then double team Lockett.
Yeah.
Who's going to cover Beckham then?
Uh huh.
You can't double team Lockett anymore. You got to move things around because you got a plan for Beckham, correct?
Teams haven't double teamed, DK Metcalf.
They just
put their best cornerback on him. I mean, because, Shaq Griffin won against them in the Jacksonville game.
Yeah, and then they double-team Lockett usually.
Yeah, but the thing is, a little bit tougher to get him because then, if you put the best cornerback there, then the lesser cornerbacks have to go out and cover him, and it's not as easy.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, so, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. But, yeah, and I just think, I don't know, like I said last year, I don't know, Antonio Brown. I know Beckham's not Antonio Brown, but... Mm-hmm. Were the Buccaneers 5-3 before Brown?
Yeah.
Then they finished the year 11-2 with him?
Yeah, yeah.
And this year they're 5-0 with Antonio Brown?
Well, yeah, but Brown's been out for about 3 games.
Yeah, but without him, they're 1-2.
Uh-huh, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It's just that extra receiver. And then, third down. You convert a third down.
Yeah.
Then you start getting into your tempo.
Uh-huh.
And then, they drop their safety down or back. They play the 2 safeties, and our running game starts working. Because if you got Beckham, there's no way you can bring 8 men in the box against the Seahawks.
That I agree.
You couldn't.
No, you can't.
And then, so you just run the heck out.
Yeah,
of the ball.
I just think it's an interesting debate. I think they need to do. Get one addition, whether it's Deshaun Jackson or whether it's Beckham. I think Jackson would be the better fit because I don't think he's going to be a problem, if he doesn't get the football or anything like that, where I think Beckham can be because Beckham can be a handful.
Yeah, and I'd like that idea. There's only one thing I dislike about it. I don't remember the last time Deshaun Jackson finished a season.
Good point, because he was injured for the last several years with the Philadelphia Eagles. The fact that, he's at least been healthy this year and now he's got a couple weeks off, that should allow him the chance to at least, be healthy for the rest of the season, but we'll see. But, I think they do need to add, cause, I thought that, getting Josh Gordon would have been great. And I think he stunned everybody by going to Kansas City.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Another thing about getting Beckham is you kind of keep him away from the Packers. I don't think the Packers are going to pass on him. Do you?
They might not. Yeah. What about San Francisco? What about New Orleans?
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly it. That's what I was trying to say. It's also the strategy, but yeah, I hope they do at least put the waiver in. Now, what do you think, even if they put the waiver in, their chances of getting him are?
Well, I mean, again, they got the 9th pick, so, you know, I don't know about whether, I mean, Philadelphia may do it, but, you know, that'd be a bad fit because they're going to be a bad team. And so, you know, he may, you know, again, it's not, if he's happy about it or not, it doesn't matter because you put the waiver claim in and you get him and then see how it goes. I mean, the one thing that goes to what you're thinking is that, you know, you figure they're not going to bring him back after the season because they've got to try to, you know, eventually work on DK Metcalf's contract. But they probably, you know, he can probably end up going in the street and getting over $10 million. And if that's the case, they probably get a third round compensatory pick.
Yeah, that's another good thing, too. Like, yeah, so you just, yeah, if it works out this year, great. If not, then you got a pick. And maybe it does make Wilson a little bit happier. Like, hey, we went and got you the star.
Yeah,
maybe, you know.
Yeah, but let's put it this way. I can guarantee that John Snyder's looking into it because he looks into everything. Hey, thank you for the phone call. Good one.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN, John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Dave Grosby joining us at the bottom of the hour. Let's go to Wheat in Tacoma. Hey, Wheat. Yes, Wheat. Wheat! Wheat, are you there? Let's go to Jeff in Kent. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, John. First off, go Cougs.
Okay.
It's going to be interesting. We can, you know, Oregon gets knocked off by the Dogs this week. We can take care of the Ducks next week, sitting on top of the Pac-12 North.
Uh-huh.
You know, going to a bowl with, you know, everything they've been through this year. I really like their that new coach they got.
Yeah, he's doing a good job.
But I just don't understand, you know, their offense sometimes. You got two of the best running backs in the Pac-12, if not the nation, in Borgie and McIntosh. And I don't understand why you don't put them back there together, you know, a split formation. And you can run so many options. Just imagine a dive option to Borgie with McIntosh floating out to the right side for the pitch option from Delora. It gives the defense so many headaches.
Yeah,
but all I see is the same thing: dive handoff, you know, single back. You know, it's working so far for him. It's okay, but I like to see him take advantage of the talent that they have, because Borgie's going to be gone and maybe McIntosh too after this season. And but just that, watching that them run that ball, it's so much. I love it so much more than that stinking air raid with Leach and being stuck in his. Mindset.
Yeah.
But
what was your thoughts on the Nick? What was your thoughts on the Nick Rolovich thing?
That's a tough one. The whole state, you know, being a state employee, the mandates and everything, and he'll probably wind up suing. You know, and it goes to court, gets litigated. But the other question I was going to ask you about was, who's the driving force in Seattle for getting an NBA team back here? Not via stealing somebody else's, because I won't watch a team that we steal. But I'm talking the from the get-go, you know.
I don't know of any of the individuals, but
expansion.
I would imagine. Yeah. What's that?
Yeah. Yeah, who's pushing for expansion to get us an expansion team as opposed to stealing one? Is there somebody, like a driving force? I know that was behind hockey. Is it the same people, or is there any individuals or groups that are really pushing for expansion?
Yeah, but I would have to think that you know, I know that the Seattle you know, people you know, that you know, are looking ahead in sports. All those people are all pushing for it. So that's one. And again, I'm sure that there's a couple investors in town, because again, you got some rich investors that you know, I'm sure would be willing to go ahead and do it. Probably some Microsoft people and some people like that. But you know, I think there's enough people pushing it. And again, you know, it's going to happen. It's just going to be when. Because
I don't want to steal somebody else's team.
No, I don't think that's going to happen. Yeah, I mean, you know, because, you know, I think there's been a couple teams that have been available, but Minnesota, I think, has been one. But I agree. I mean, again, it's a shame that they let the team move. That was bad. But in the end, I think that, you know, they'll have a chance to recoup. Because, again, you figure the next expansion is probably going to have Seattle and Vegas. The question is going to be when the contracts of TV run out to a point where, you know, the TV money is so good right now that everybody's making so much money that they don't want to, you know, share it as much. But at some point, there'll go two more teams.
You think the Mariners are going to try and bring Paxton back, give him a minor league contract just to see?
I would hope. I mean, because, again, it's
hope.
Yeah, because you like to see that, and you know right now they're down. You know, you say Kikuchi, and you know they may have enough starters, but I think that you know Paxton's a good fit. I think he likes it here, and then you know see how he can come back from his injury.
Yeah, well, remember how you laughed at me when I called up and said this was a 90-win team at the beginning of the season. And just imagine if we would have had a healthy Paxton, would have given us 10 games. If Marco would have been Marco this year, he would have added on 10 more games. That's 20 more games right there. That puts us at 110 almost, and that puts us right smack in the playoffs in the World Series. So it was just so disappointing to see Paxton go down.
Yeah, agreed.
This team is really, you know, from what I saw this season and for next year, this team's in real, you know, flux right now. With Lewis, you know, coming back from injury in the outfield, if he comes back healthy, our outfield is set, but it's the whole infield now with Seager gone. You know, my feeling is France to third base. Are they going to sit there and try and get a blockbuster trade or deal for a second baseman? Or are they going to keep Toro? And then you got Evan White coming back at first.
I think they're going to keep Toro. I don't know if he's going to stay. I mean, I don't know if they move him to third. But, you know, Toro did some pretty good hitting. And again, I know for 4 years the league kept on saying that he has a chance to have a breakout season, but then the problem is down in Houston, he never got a chance to play. You can't have a breakout season when you're not on the field.
Well, then it's where you're going to play. You know, is France going to be your first baseman? Are you going to give up on Evan White? You're going to put Toro at third.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, now you have an open hole, open hole at second base.
Yeah, that's
which
true.
Which has been there forever.
Yeah, but, you know, they can go get a second baseman. That'll be one that will be in the mix. I don't know what they have in the minors to be able to fill in at second base. But
Nothing to speak of in the minors.
Yeah, okay.
They're going to have to make a deal to get it. You know, I hope they do because I just like the way this team is set up. You bring back Anderson on the pitching staff. You make it find a free agent, you know, top-line free agent to plug in also. And you know, this team has got playoffs written all over it next year if
agreed.
They stay healthy.
Agreed. Hey, thank you for the phone call.
All right.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Dave Grosby coming up next.
This is the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
Time for our weekly dose of the Gros with Dave Grosby. And, Dave, two personal things I've got to get into before we start, you know, talking some football, college football, pro football, and baseball and all those different things. First off, the 3 hours that we spent together from 2 to 5, in my opinion, was one of my highlights of the year. It was so much fun. I think we got good reviews for what we did on the air, you know, filling in for Bob and Dave. I think it went well because I know I loved it.
Well, I feel the exact same way, John, and it's right back at you, buddy.
Yeah, and here's the other one, and I get this is, again, talk about, you know, a couple good days. I think it was like Thursday, you know, because I always have to go either to Rite Aid or Walgreens to pick up stuff for Pat.
Right.
And so I went over to Rite Aid, and, you know, one of Dre's best friends, Henry, works there, right?
Right.
And so I get there, and he said, hey, we got something for you. It's like, what? What do you got? And so it's like Dre made me a wooden Hall of Fame plaque years ago with my name on it, Pro Football Hall of Fame, and it is just absolutely meticulous.
Holy
it is just absolutely, it's like, it's great. I mean, I sent a picture to Matt, and he was just stunned how good this thing looks. And apparently he did it for years ago, but of course, you know, he had no way to get it to me. And so, you know, Henry, who, you know, is again over here in Renton at the Rite Aid, I mean, he brought it to me, and this thing is just absolutely immaculate.
That is sensational, man. That
Isn't that great?
Terrific. Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, once we get off the air, I'll send you a text on it.
Do so.
Yeah, because again, it's just amazing to see how nice this thing is. Because you're just flabbergasted. It's like, wow, look at that thing.
You've taken good care of your listeners over the years, John, and they appreciate it.
Yeah, so I mean, very, very appreciative of what Dre did. So, Dre, thank you very much, and acknowledge just what a great thing that you did, because it is so, so great. In fact, I'll send this to you now.
You should post it on your Twitter.
Yeah, that's a point.
Just let everyone see it.
Yeah, but that's good. So, we talked about it yesterday, and things keep on getting worse for Aaron Rodgers, and we talked about the press conference and all those different things. What's your thoughts on what's going on with Aaron Rodgers? He spends an hour on Barstool right when the team's supposed to practice. And again, had he had a vaccination and no positive test, he would have been there at practice. But what practice starts, he spends an hour spewing out nonsense, saying, and almost making him sound like he was the victim. He says, all these people reporting all these wrong things. And, it's like, if they would have asked me another question about that, I would explain this and explain that. It's like, explain what? You didn't get a vaccination. You misled everybody by saying that you got a immunization. That everybody thought, oh, you're vaccinated? I mean, everybody thought that, and you didn't do it. And now you're going to miss 10 days. Maybe it'll be longer. We'll see. And you're going to cost your team the chance to maybe win the game against Kansas City.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the bottom line is he may be – we determined one thing, that the league would not necessarily step on him as much as they would go after the Packers.
Mm-hmm.
And yet you're seeing more and more things come out of this that make me think the league might suspend Rodgers. I mean, they denied some stuff specifically in that rant yesterday, his claim about he spoke with league doctors about the vaccine. They said that wasn't true. So you're seeing other things come out of the press conference that weren't true. And, the fact that he misled the team, it sounds like, and the team is obviously going to be liable for stuff. And I'm not going to be surprised if they lose a draft pick here. But, the league at the bottom line, at the very worst, does not want to do anything to take their stars off the field. Yet here you got a star thumbing his nose at you. I mean, so I'm interested in seeing what the NFL does, because this is not just a normal guy, not passing a test. This is a guy who I think, tried to subvert the process. There's no question about that in my mind. I think he knew exactly what he was talking about when he made the distinction in having a vaccine or being immunized.
Mm-hmm.
I think he knew just what he meant, and he said what he meant. And this is a different case for the NFL. You haven't had guys trying to mislead like this. So I'm very curious to see what ultimately comes out on this. And you're right, the team that stands to benefit in the immediate sense is the Chiefs. But if he gets anything else tacked on, he obviously will miss the Seahawks game.
Yeah, agreed. And it's like, the interview we had with Barstool is one where, I mean, he spewed out so much craziness. You're going, what are you talking about?
Right. And I mean, everyone's forgetting the bottom line here, John. I mean, the league is able to mandate work conditions.
Yeah.
They can say the conditions of work. So whether or not you agree with his point or think that there's an anti-vax crazy crowd out there and that he's a victim of woke this or woke that, the NFL is allowed to implement work conditions on guys who play in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't want to go by their rules, you don't have to play. So they're not doing anything wrong here. You follow the rules And look, there is a path for him to not get vaccinated, as we know, wearing a mask, not traveling with the team, things like that he could have done. He didn't do that. He wants it both ways, and he shouldn't be able to get it both ways.
What was your thoughts on just the fact, if you're Packer management and you hear or listen to the 1 hour, actually it was a 45-minute interview. If you listen to the 45-minute interview, how do you, you won't say anything to Aaron, because right now you can't. He's not even going to be in the building for 10 days. But what do you think, and how angry would you be if you're management?
If you're management, you're going to church and saying a rosary for Jordan Love.
Yeah.
You're hoping he comes out and throws three touchdown passes against the Chiefs and looks every inch like your new starting quarterback. That having been said, I mean, you certainly you're definitely, I don't know how much you're talking Aaron Rodgers these days anyway, but but you're not defending him in this case. I mean, Matt LaFleur is the one guy who's got to try to, because he's coaching him, and he is. But you know, the front office guys have got to just take their punishment as well. So he's put everyone in a particularly bad spot there in Green Bay, and it's a little bit surprising.
Yeah, it really is. And so we'll see where that goes. And we talked yesterday certainly about the Odell Beckham situation, and now we both have had an extra day to reflect on it. Should they put the waiver claim in with the ninth pick on him or not?
I'd say absolutely.
Really?
I'd say absolutely. I think, you know, John, at the end of the day, you're not talking about a 7-2 Seahawks team that's talking about adding a little cherry to the top. You're talking about a team that's 3-5 that's fighting for its life, and you get a chance to add a player that can help you. I think, you know, you trust that Russell Wilson, he's going to like it, number one, that he can be Tom Brady-esque, quote-unquote. You know, Brady handled Antonio Brown perfectly last year. He didn't have any problems. You hope that Wilson and the Seattle culture can do that for Beckham. You're understanding you're just getting him for 1 year, and in the case of Beckham, he's playing for another contract. So you've got him with narrow self-interest motivating him as well. So I definitely am thinking about it more. I think that it's a move that they should make.
Yeah, and again, maybe I'm starting to warm up to the idea more so, because again, my big concern, as we talked about, is that you know, he could have that Percy Harvin influence if he's not getting the ball enough, and he's not going to get the ball enough because, I mean, it's one.
Well, I think what you got in this case, though, John, you've got in that case, you had Russell Wilson, who was a second year guy, who was a really young guy playing quarterback and kind of controlling that image, whereas now you have a Russell Wilson who's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. So I think, you know, you can, along with Pete Carroll, I like the impact that he can make.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought maybe DeSean Jackson should be a better fit, because I think he'd be more agreeable to be the third receiver. You know, Beckham, of course, you know, he would come here, the best he can do is be the third receiver. But one thing that adds to the mix is that you know he's going to leave in free agency after the year, but if he gets over $10 million, you get a third-round compensatory pick in 2023.
Right. So, I mean, I would not be disappointed if they got DeSean either.
I
just think that the viewing of it, and I'm sure it's the way the Seahawks are doing it, has got to be from the prism of you're 3-5. You're not 6-2 or 7-1. I mean, you're nothing is guaranteed. You can afford maybe two more losses the rest of the way, and it's going to be getting a couple of tough wins and getting some wins you're supposed to get. And we all know in the NFL, supposed to doesn't really exist. Any team can get any team. So I think that a chance to add to the team is something they can do, and I think you trust in Pete Carroll and his culture to lead you through it.
College football, what do you think about Washington, Oregon?
Boy, it's a beauty, man. It's a big game this afternoon. It's already perfect weather for these guys. You know, I think, you know, in Oregon, obviously, you've got the favorite, a team that does what Washington doesn't do particularly well. But the Huskies are off their best game against Stanford, in my opinion. They ran the ball extremely well. There's pressure on their quarterback to make some plays in the game today. I think this is one that Washington can keep it close. I don't know that we'll see what happens in the fourth quarter. I mean, I think that they can keep it close. My expectation is that Oregon will kind of stretch it out there in the fourth quarter and win going away a little bit. But I think that Washington has got the equipment to give them a tough game. And this is the first thing, they've got to be able to play good defense against the run. If they can't, then, you know, Oregon is going to score at will on them. So they've got to have their run defense step up and play well like it did last week at Stanford.
Yeah, no doubt. And so that should be fascinating to see. And of course, you know, Washington State, they could benefit if Washington beats Oregon, because if they win Washington State, then they're in a spot where maybe next week they're, you know, in first place as far as getting in the North.
And then you're looking at the Apple Cup being a chance for Washington to deny Washington State as well.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
you know, that's definitely would be a good scenario for up here. But for the Pac-12, of course, the better scenario is for Oregon to win, because they're literally their only shot at being in that bowl championship series, and they're in it right now. So, you know, we'll see if they can come through.
What's your thoughts on Jimmy Lake?
To be determined, John.
Yeah.
To be determined. I think that, you know, he certainly had a rough start this year, but if, you know, if he can turn this thing around and get this team to rally here in the second half and come up with a win against Oregon, let's say, and come up with a win against Oregon State, I think you got to reassess what your thoughts are of him. So I think from a point where you're looking like this guy has got to go, you're now looking at, we better wait and see what happens at the end of the year before we make a decision on him.
As a person, and the way you hear him talking as a coach, I mean, you know, I root for him. I hope it does.
I like
him.
I do too. I do too. And you know, I want him to work here, and I want him to fit here. And he, you know, is Peterson's handpicked selection. And I think that again, he's got the chance to stay if this team can rally and finish well. And this is a team that lost to Montana.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, it's a team that really could have cashed it in early, and he's got them playing hard, and that's one of the most important things is teaching a team how to deal with adversity and not give up, and they have not given up.
What's your thoughts on the new Washington State coach?
So far, so good. I mean, you know, it's really baptism of fire, and he's got all hands on deck, and he got a little help with assistant coaches and the team, although they were definitely disappointed to lose Nick Rolovich, as, you know, played for him. They nearly beat BYU and had a great game the second game out. So I like how they're playing for Pat so far.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And then finally, thoughts on the Kraken, you know, finally get a chance to get home, get some wins, get some positive things going.
They had an excellent game the other night, you know, against Buffalo, who's not very good, and they won it 5-2 and looked good. They got their first hat trick in franchise history, and they go play a road game tonight against Arizona. Arizona, John, is 0-10-1, which is not very good.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to say that they're looking good on the road to get a win, and that would put them just a game under 500. So they got their backup goaltender back. They're getting some other players out of protocols as well. They've had a bunch of roster hiccups at this point, but I've liked what I've seen all year long. I mean, the problems they were having was not playing well. It was just getting goals to go in, as they were getting good shots, and that may have changed here against the Sabres the other night. We'll see what happens tonight against Arizona.
Yeah, and to give you an update on what happened last night, because again, everybody was gracious enough to you know, allow me to leave the show at 5 as opposed to going till 6, because again, a Friday night date night, which Pat and I have had now for 34 years, we made it over to Dino's by about 5:07, 5:08.
Nice.
And I talked her into having the halibut, and she loved it.
John, you know, it's ironic. That's exactly what we had for dinner.
Oh, really? Halibut?
I guess we had a date night ourselves.
Yeah, how about that?
Except I cooked it. We didn't have Dino cook it.
Yeah, we cooked it. No, but again, it's like, you know, because normally at Dino's they have it, you know, they'll put some sprinkle, almost fry it. But I talked them into not putting that on, and so they did, and it just tasted very good for Pat, and she has some leftovers too.
But by the way, that Dre did a fantastic job, man.
You saw it?
It's fantastic.
Isn't that unbelievable? And again, it's
absolutely
a wooden plaque, John Clayton, Pro Football Hall of Fame. I mean, just remarkable.
Absolutely. Boy, it's gorgeous. Just
and so what's
gorgeous.
What's on the Graz agenda this weekend?
I think we just discussed it, man. There's a lot to watch. It's rainy. We're getting an extra hour of sleep on Sunday,
mm-hmm.
So it's time to gorge on sports.
There you go. That's our weekly dose of the Graz with Dave Grosby. And again, thanks yesterday for what was a great 3 hours on the air. And, of course, enjoy the weekend.
Sure was, John. I really loved it yesterday. Thanks, buddy.
Okay. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
Our thanks to Matt Nelson for producing the show. Our thanks to Matt Nelson for running the show. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's get a couple quick calls in here before getting out. Let's go to Scott in Seattle. Hey, Scott.
Hey, John. Hey, I have a couple of quick scheduling questions.
Yeah.
One is, has the NFL looked at the possibility of having all the teams do either a London or a Mexico City game, so everybody still gets their 8 home games and that basically their extra game goes overseas?
They have done that. Yeah. In fact, they when they first came out with the 17-game schedule idea, that was one of the ideas. They just knew it was going to take, you know, some time to be able to do it because, you know, they can put games in Germany, they can put games in Mexico, you know, they can put games in other places too. But they definitely looked into it, and that would be something they aspire to do. You know, maybe a few extra London games and all those different things. But no, that's something that they have looked at. So you don't have that discrepancy of having, you know, like, for example, this year, the AFC has all the 17 home games versus the NFC and the interconference games. So, yeah, they have looked at that.
Good. You think that's probably something that's going to happen in the next couple of years?
Several years, because I think it's just going to take time to arrange it, because you know that they'd like to have a game over in Japan, maybe China, you know. So I would have to think it's going to take some years, but I think at some point they'll be able to do it.
Absolutely. Hey, the other question is, and this is going way back in time.
Yeah.
Back in the day with the Seattle Sonics.
Yeah.
They used to whenever the Sonics had a national game, which wasn't very often back then, you know, back in the days of Bob Blackburn, they actually shifted the timing in the games between mm-hmm. the TV and the radio, so you could listen to Bob Blackburn as you're watching the national broadcast. Has the station ever thought about doing that with the Seahawks, so we can listen to Rabel instead of having to deal with the vanilla the vanilla guys on either Channel 13 or Channel 7?
Well, not on TV, because again, you know, 13 has the rights to getting the Seahawks games on.
I mean shift the radio broadcast.
No, it won't. That'll never happen. I mean, the Seahawks broadcast is the Seahawks broadcast. 13 is going to be having their games, but no, that's something that will never happen. Hey, thanks.
Interesting, because all they'd have to do is shift it about 5 seconds, and it would line up.
Won't happen. So you can scratch that idea. Hey, Scott, thank you. Let's go to Bill and wrap it up here in Seattle. From Bill in Seattle. Hey, Bill.
Hi. I watched the hit on D.S. Grage.
Yeah.
And I was shocked that it wasn't at least flagged. What was your take on that?
Yeah, because honestly, it just like it was more how he fell on the sideline, because it was on the visiting team sideline that caused the problem. But it's like they flag everything, so it's like you don't want to sweat too much. But I didn't think it was too bad. But again, I think it was more the crashing to the ground and crashing to the sidelines that caused the problem.
But do you think that it was helmet-to-helmet contact?
No,
I think it was. Nope.
I didn't see it that way. I have to go back and look at it again, but I didn't see it that way.
Okay, that brings up one more question I have. And is there any process within the NFL to go back and look at something like that happened after the game, and then levy a penalty or some other punishment?
No, the only thing that they'll do is that they'll look at it after the game to see where it goes, and then if they think it's they missed something or whatever, then the player will get a fine, but it's not going to be somebody that's going to carry over to the field. That's something that will never happen, you know, because the game's over and you can't do anything about it, and you're not going to take it away from next week's game and all that stuff. But, you know, if they can look at it, because they review everything and look to see, because usually what happens is the fines, you know, at least are leaking out by today, and then you get to see where the fines are. Hey, Bill, thank you for the phone call. Thank you, everybody. Great show. And we'll be back next week on the John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.